So 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, walking in the light, 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Father, bless your word now to our hearts. Thank you for your hymns that were sung in praise to you and in prayer to you, begging for your guidance and leadership. Lord, we know that you will guide your people. You will guide us like your beloved flock, like your own children. Lord, we pray that you will bless your word to us now and guide us into your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. This is an interesting verse, is it not? This is the message that we have heard from Him, that is the Lord Jesus, as they walked with Him and talked with Him for 3.5 years, and that we declare to you. Now, you can have fellowship with us. Jesus shared this with us. And this is one of His primary messages, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. When we look at the God of Christianity, we find, you know, not just merely God the Father, but God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are perfect. They've never sinned. They've never gone astray. This wonderful God of Scripture is perfect. If we were to look at the Quran, though, we would find a different story about Allah. Allah is capricious. In other words, Allah is arbitrary. And in other words, to put it in our language, Allah is allowed to lie. Allah is allowed to change His mind. When does the Bible say that God ever changes His mind? He is the Lord God. He's perfect from the beginning. He changes not. Those He loves forever. Once you're His child forever. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you any less. And so, these things are wonderful about our God, in difference to all the other false gods of the world. We can show you where Buddha is buried because he sinned. We can show you where Muhammad is buried because he sinned. We can show you where Confucius is buried because he sinned. We can show you where all these, with the Krishnas and all these gurus in India, have died because they sinned. But if I take you to Israel and show you Gordon's tomb, you won't find anybody there. Because he done got up, gone, and went because he never sinned. And the wages of sin is death. He paid for our sins. And to prove that His sacrifice was perfect for us, He rose again from the dead. And so again, God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. We serve the only God in this world who is pure and perfect and unchangeable. And so how many times did Allah lie in the Quran? Numerous times He lied. Numerous times He changed His mind. Numerous times He allowed Muhammad to do whatever he wanted to do. You say, Brother Ross, you're acting like Allah is somebody. No, that Allah's false. He never existed. But the one they portray in the Quran is a liar. I have no problem saying that. I don't have to worry about Allah bringing His wrath on me. Some of the followers of His false religion may. In fact, they're commanded to kill me for saying anything that reveals the truth about Muhammad or their false god Allah, which was the male deity, the moon god of the Quraysh tribe of which Muhammad was born into and lived his wicked, wicked, deceitful, murderous, raping, pedophile life. And so this is the message we have heard. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We should never take lightly the declaring of God's word or God's person to us. When the scripture comes to us and says, this is the message, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In other words, it's saying to us, he's the one who is able to open your eyes, you can see. He's the revealer. You can't see anything without light. He's the joy of the world. He's the light that if you walk in him, you will not stumble, you'll not fail, your life will not be wasted. These are not the words of man, but the words of the living God. And we should be like the Thessalonians, not the Bereans. They heard Paul preach and they studied to make sure the things he said were so. But Paul also said about the Thessalonians in the very book he wrote about them in Thessalonians, he said, when they heard the word that was preached, they received the word as of the word of God and welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Can you realize that when Paul preached, he was so filled and moved by the Holy Spirit that what he preached was the word of God? That when the Holy Spirit moved him to write, what he wrote was the word of God. So let's start at this beginning. God is light with no mixture of darkness. In him is light, and in those there's no darkness at all. Amen. God is often compared to light. We saw that as the book of Revelation's getting ready to close. We'll see it again there. The Bible says of the several verses, of many verses we could quote, just a few here. It says, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light. And then David cried in the Psalms, you who cover yourself with light as with a garment. And again, his brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand. There shall be no night there, says the book of Revelation. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And how many times did Jesus say, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so many places that come to mind for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And not only light colored, but that his way teaches us as we walk with him. It reveals the way of his path, of who he is and what he's done for us. As we close this point out, this is connected to it. All things are made visible by light. And this is what you were talking about, hallucinogens earlier. What they do is they mess with different things in our body, like light receptors, and they change with colors, and they change the distances, and they make things appear like they move, or they grow smaller, or they get bigger. They mess with our light receptors in our brain as we try to discern what we see. But all things are made visible by light. And so then God, who is light, sees all things. There is no word we speak or imagine, no thought, no deed, no affection, no desire, no secret motive or will, but is naked and open to the eyes of the living God. He sees it all. He sees it long before we even think it, the Bible tells us in Psalm 139. And David, I'm quoting from Psalm 139, says, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness hides not from you, but the night shines as the day. He's saying there's nowhere I can go to hide from you. If I go to the lowest hell, the lowest depths of hell, even there you see me, you know me, you are there. And so light is, everything is made visible by light. There's no dark corner in all of God's universe hiding anything from him at any time. As the scripture says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And then light reveals. And not only is it you know, it's so tied to the first one, but God shows us things we could never know without Him. You know, while we were sinners, those of us who got saved later in life, I was 19 years old, I never realized how selfish I was or how arrogant I was or how lustful I was till God saved me and opened my eyes and let me see, and look at the way you talk. Look at the way you look at people. Look at your attitude about who you think you are. You know, He begins to show us things about ourselves. We don't need anybody to tell us, because the sweet light of His Word and the light of His Spirit show us. The Scripture says, "You are the fountain of life. In your light we see light." But the old man, the natural man, the sinner, they're blind to the things of God. They're a child of darkness. Like we look at these people rioting in Portland again last night, and it's very, very emotional and very, very dedicated to what we see as sinful and wicked and destructive behavior, and yet they think they're right. They're convinced that it's okay to steal because somebody was a slave 150 years ago. They think it's okay to attack policemen because, well, the policemen want to stop us from having our own way, and we're good. Right? And before you think it's all politics, this is our society around us. It's our culture. It reveals the human sinful nature of man. How that they're sold out to their cause, and yet they're completely wrong. They're completely in darkness. And the things it's like the guy that confronted him last night. He was a big black guy, and he stood up there and he said to him, "If black lives matter to you, why do you keep putting abortion clinics in black neighborhoods? If black lives matter to you, what about our black babies?" And you know what happened to the wicked crowd? They all became quiet. They couldn't answer him. Because even that could reach to them from this guy, a black man saying, "If black lives mattered, why are you murdering black babies by the thousands every day?" So you see, light reveals. And we were once wrong, but God showed us His light and showed us how that we were sinners, that we weren't better than anybody, that our sins had put Jesus Christ on the cross. Our sins had murdered the Son of God. And He showed us that we needed to bow ourselves, our hearts humbly before the almighty, all-knowing, all-seeing God. God is the great revealer of truth. And He opens the eyes and gives wisdom to those who seek Him. To those whom He brings to Himself, He begins to teach us the paths of light. Again, the Scripture represents glory with light. We talked about this in Sunday school, how two or three places just in the closing parts of Revelation, when glory is mentioned, illumination is mentioned, light is mentioned. Light represents glory. As Moses was put in the cleft of the rock there in Israel in the days of old, as he was put in the cleft of the rock, he wanted to see God. He wanted to see Him. He wanted to know that God was with him. God says, "I'll hide you in this cleft of the rock." And He did. He said, "And I will pass by." But Moses didn't get to see but the tail end, as it were, the train, the very back part of the garments of God. And what happened to Moses? As he sees this light that pierces through the rock, that pierces through the mountain, and he sees just the light of the train of God's garment. But his face is shining. It's so bright that the children of Israel could barely look on it. It was trying to look at the sun. And so he had to put a veil over it. Light represents glory, and there's no one as glorious as God. His light is glorious, and it's a reflection of His person, who He is, His holiness, His goodness, His perfections. He is called the Son of Righteousness. He says that in him is no spot nor shadow of darkness, no slightest imperfection. In him is light and no darkness at all. His glory is unstained. Every one of his attributes is pure and just and holy. God's justice is perfect justice. God's wrath is perfect wrath. God's hell is meeting out his perfect righteousness. Light represents happiness as well. We see that often in the scripture, that light represents happiness. Therefore, God is the most happy being in the universe. You know, you think of who deserves to be happy? Well, God deserves to be happy. And why is he so happy? Because he gets to be with himself all the time. And every one of his thoughts and every one of his ways is perfect. And this great triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have perfect unity and perfect fellowship. And the wonders of it all is because he enjoys this, he's the happiest being of all. What is God afraid of? What is it that can steal God's happiness? What is it that he hasn't taken care of by the cross? By either his justice and his righteousness or by his mercy and grace? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He knew all about it long before it happened. He planned it long before it came to pass. And the Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. He is all happiness himself, without a shadow of fear, without a shadow of doubt. He never worries. He never feels guilt. He never has felt shame. All the things that take our joy and happiness have never happened to God. Never will. What would it be like to know everything and that everything is working for your glory eternally? Well, that's God. He planned it that way. He's the happiest of all beings. And so as light represents happiness, he's the most happiest. Light represents purity and holiness. It represents that which is pure and iridescent in righteousness. God is most pure and perfect in his holiness. The Bible doesn't say God does not lie. The Bible says God cannot lie. He cannot. He cannot be tempted with evil, the Bible says. He cannot look upon sin without his most holy and perfect hatred towards it. He cannot turn away any sinner who comes to him by Jesus. Every one of you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, shall be saved. There are several things that God cannot do. So, there's nothing my God cannot do. Oh yeah, your God can't lie. And your God can't turn away anyone, even the most vilest sinner on earth, who calls on Jesus to be his Savior. Amen. Praise God. I like what the old Puritan Thomas Brooks wrote, and this is back in the 1600s. And so he says, "The Lord is the most absolute, needful, and necessary thing. He is pure and unmixed. God is unmixed good. He hath nothing in him but goodness. He is an ocean of sweetness without one drop of bitterness. He is a perfect beauty without the least spot or shadow of deformity. All other things are bittersweet, but God is a rose without thorns. He is good in which there is not the least evil. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There is no mixtures in God. God is the most clear, bright, shining light. Yes, he is all light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is all light and all love, all sweetness and all goodness, all kindness and all grace, and there is no uncomeliness, nor unloveliness, nor bitterness, nor darkness at all in God. The moon, when it shines brightest, has her dark spots and specks. But God is a light that shines most gloriously without the least spot or speck. He is most pure, clear, splendid light. It is very observable that the apostle, to illustrate the perfect purity of God, adds a negative to his affirmative. In him is no darkness at all. That is, God is so pure that not the least spot, the smallest speck of vanity or folly can cleave to him. God is a pure and most pure act without the least potentiality, defectibility, or mutability. And therefore, in the highest sense, he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. As we move to our next point, we looked at God as light with no mixture of darkness. We see here that we are called to walk in his light. In verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, so we are to walk in his light with him. Walking denotes a continuous activity. It's a progress towards something or someone or some place. It doesn't mean that we're running like the story of the rabbit and the tortoise. It means that we're walking. It's a continuous thing. It may be slow, it may be gradual, but it is headed towards something or someone or some place or purpose. In Amos 3:3, it speaks about an agreement. And Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so to walk in the light means that we agree with him. That we agree with God, that what he says is good. And in fact, when you come to 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That word confess actually means if we agree with God that what we did is wrong. That we agree with him. Lord, what you said is right. What I did is wrong. I agree with you. I'm sorry, Lord. So walking in is this progress. It is an agreement with God. It is continuing to make progress with God's companionship. We're going on toward being like Jesus or looking to Jesus or striving to emulate Jesus. When you look at the fruits of the Holy Spirit, as it says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. What we're looking at is the person of Christ. We're looking at the light of Christ. Not looking at some individual virtue that is apart from the Lord Jesus or one of his gifts that he gives, even though he gives these things as gifts, it's part of his nature. It is who he is. Jesus is love. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he is these things to us. And if our progress is to be a closer companionship with Christ, if our walking in the light as he is in the light is focused on the author and finisher of our faith, if it's on Jesus, so many people walk in Christianity trying to gain a feeling. They're trying to gain a vision. They're trying to gain a word of knowledge. They want to speak in tongues. They want to feel something. And they miss the point that Christianity is a person. And sure, there may be wonderful feelings as you get close to Jesus. You may have wonderful feelings of joy unspeakable and full of glory. You may have a peace that passes understanding. You might have a joy that while the world is trying to tear you down or others are trying to interrupt your peace, you're unruffled by it all. Because he's with you. You may have these affections. You may have, like my Aunt Jeannie did when she was called at home. And it was the hospital. And they said, please, Mrs. Jones, hurry down to the hospital. Your husband is here. He's having a heart attack. We're afraid he may die. Please hurry. It's an emergency. And as she hung up the phone, her nature was to become suddenly afraid. to go into shock, to feel trauma. But instead, because she had Jesus as her Savior, and the Lord was there with her, instead she told me what happened as she hung up the phone was that she had expected to go into a tizzy. But instead, she said, the Lord put his hand on my heart and he spoke to my heart. I didn't hear his voice, but his voice spoke to my heart and he said, don't you worry, Jeannie girl. He's in my hand. I'm taking care of him. And she said, the most wonderful, unique, supernatural peace flooded her heart. And she went to the hospital knowing that everything was going to be all right. And assuring everybody else that her Johnny was going to be coming home. Amen? That God may do that. But we don't walk looking for a feeling. We don't walk looking for an experience or something to happen. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by senses. We walk to draw closer to Him. And so it is to walk in the light of His grace. How can you walk with the Lord in the light of His law? If you're walking with Him according to these rules and regulations, let me ask you, which one can you keep without His help? Without His grace? Well, I've had trouble cussing. I'm just going to quit cussing. I'm going to make sure that I'm walking with God because I stopped cussing. And what do you do but you replace it with what I call Christian cuss words? Instead of calling that driver that just cut you off in traffic what we call a bad word, you call him a stinking worm, or you call him a jerk, or a twerp, or a dweeb. Same thing, you're still cussing, you're just using different words, right? It may be more acceptable in polite company, but you're still doing it. And so we walk in the light of His grace. Not in the light, the law is meant to show us that how far we come short and how much we need Jesus. Every time you try to make it and reform your life without the grace of God, you stumble and fail and you sin to show you that you're nothing without Him. You can't do it without Him. We cannot walk with Him without Him holding us up, without Him holding us our hand, without His light showing us the way. Without Him, we can do nothing. Say, well, I don't want to think a greedy thought anymore. I don't want to think a lustful thought anymore. Or I don't want to be jealous anymore. Can the leopard change his spots? Can the zebra change its stripes by just merely wishing it? Can you add one cubit to your stature? No. So it is to walk with Him by grace. It is to walk in the light of sincere surrender to Him. And I have to close here quickly, but I don't want to, you know, just say an illustration without getting to the point of the truth, but there was a song a long time ago. Believe it or not, the band's name was kind of funny. It was called Toad in the Wet Sprocket. And they had a song which talks about the sincerity of a good relationship. And how very few and how very rare those relationships are. And in essence, in the song, what they're saying is to be as honest as creation is towards God. As the leaves move at His will, He's talking about being completely honest, completely surrendered, completely submissive to God. And He's saying that to be completely honest in our relationship, and He's speaking about how He wants that with His wife or with His girlfriend in the song. But we should want that in our relationship with God. You know what? A lot of times we don't come to walk with Jesus because we're afraid to be honest with him. All that to say, we're afraid to be sincere with him. We're afraid to say, God, I love you and everything, but I want to enjoy this sin over here. Or God, I want to hold on to this. This is for me. And we don't realize this important truth, that is, God is light. 1 John will also show us in 1 John 4, God is love. If you surrender and give everything to him, be completely sincere and honest with him, let him have everything, you're only surrendering to him who is perfect love, who wants only what's best for you, who knows how to make you happy, who knows what will fulfill your heart in life. While you hold back, you can't understand this fullness of joy, or you can't understand this, the complete light of his happiness, the light of his peace, the light of his grace, while you're holding anything back. You can't hide it from him anyway. He already knows it. And while you want to hold on to this for yourself, so I'm not holding on to anything. I like this illustration my pastor used many years ago. If Jesus was coming to your house for lunch today, he just showed up and said, hey, brother, sister, I'm coming to your house today. Would you have to rush home to hide anything? Would you have to rush home to change any of your cable network? Would you have to rush home to not show him something you don't want him to see? It's kind of a crude illustration. How about your heart and life? And Jesus already searches your heart and life, right? And so let's walk in sincerity. I have to close now with leaving half of my sermon undone. But of course, to walk in the light is to walk in the light of his word. To walk in the light of scripture. And that goes without saying. But say it we must, because that is the scriptural point. His word is compared to light over and over and over again in the scripture. To walk in the light of his word. And we see that in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in his darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth, the word. How do we know, as we close, let's ask this question. How do we know that we're walking in the light? Well, number one, what does the light do? How many of you have been sitting in your house or sitting in an office somewhere and you notice that the right kind of light comes in the room? There's all kinds of like little fuzz and little hair and stuff in the air. Isn't that crazy? And some of it's you. It's you floating around your house. You're breathing it in and everything. It's just crazy. But the point is that you know you're walking with Jesus when you see yourself a sinner. When you're not getting too big for your britches and looking down on other people. You know, I go to church every Sunday. That rascal only shows up every once in a while in a blue moon. You know, the Christian that's walking with Jesus is too busy seeing the light of their own inconsistencies, the own dirt, their own fuzz in their own life, to be looking down on other people. Yeah, we'll hate sin, but we'll especially hate our own sin. What does the Bible say about Paul? Paul was the greatest missionary since the Lord Jesus. I mean, we're in church today here in America basically because God used Paul in a wonderful way. Amen? And so the great thing is that Paul could say, Christ, this is a saying worthy of all acceptation. Everybody should receive this. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Then what did he say? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. I'm the chief. I'm the main sinner. And when you see yourself, you're walking in the light of Christ, and you're walking with him according to, you know, his word, and striving to want to follow him. It's so easy for Satan to try to discourage you. It is so easy for your own self to cast your own law upon yourself, because you see how much you fall short. And it can discourage you, and Satan will show you how you're falling short. He'll remind you how you're falling short, but you have to remember that it's the one who walks with Jesus who sees who they truly are, a sinner in need of his mercy and grace. As you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. How did you receive him? As a sinner in need of his grace and mercy. So how do you keep walking in him? As a sinner saved by grace, still in need of his mercy. You know, you're not going to hell anymore. I like what John MacArthur said. I heard him say it many years ago, and it made me think. He says, saving repentance begins a life of repentance. When we repent and believe on Christ and we're saved, it begins a life of continued repentance. How that we're always coming to say, Lord, I failed you again. Lord, I stepped in this mud again. Lord, I've fallen short again. And it is a continual process of growing and growing more into the image of Christ, more and more into his light, coming to into a greater agreement over everything until we're, as the Bible says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more and more until that perfect day. But it's not easy looking at ourselves sometimes, is it? And so, but that's how you know you're walking in the light. Is when you see your need of more of his grace, more of his mercy, and you see yourself as lowly. And as Mr. James Simmons used to say, his favorite track was the message. It's even written in the little reminder, the memorial. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. I'm a poor sinner.